Man, did I get a lot of emails this week. Oh, hi, everybody. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Kroos. I am the chief geek in charge here at Ask the Garden Geek, and everybody wants to know about spring fertilizer. And I thought that I had done this, and a lot of people don't understand what fertilizer is. So in this segment, I'm going to talk to you about fertilizer. What is fertilizer? What does it do? Why does it do it? Where do I buy it? How do I put it down? You know, all kinds of stuff. What's the best fertilizer? Yeah, the best fertilizer depends on the plant, the soil, the area, and a bunch of things. What is fertilizer? Fertilizer is plant food. How's that? Now, plants living in nature feed themselves. Yeah, they do. Plants actually feed themselves. They don't need us in nature. You ever go out in the woods? You see all these beautiful, healthy trees? These trees that have beautiful branches and, you know, everything. I had a woman on the show one time. Her name was Dr. Carrie Cott. And Dr. Carrie Cott is kind of a beautiful, wonderful person who really loves nature and thinks that there should be trees everywhere. And I had to explain to Dr. Carrie Cott that is not necessarily true. And the way I did that is we were out at a place called Philippi Park one time, and Carrie Cott was putting on a little presentation out there. So the lovely former Mrs. Kroos and I drove out there, and I introduced her to Dr. Carrie Cott. As a matter of fact, on that day, they became good friends. And I was able to show Dr. Carrie Cott trees in nature at that park that were unfatted, that were left all to their own to do what they're going to do. And they were beautiful. I mean, they were just absolutely stunningly beautiful. But starting as soon as you start building roads and streets and houses and all that stuff and sheds, you kind of take trees out of their natural habitat. And trees have to be trimmed all the time. They have to be pruned. They have to be, you have to help feed them because there's concrete covering their natural root zones, and all kinds of things like that are happening. So thus, because of us, because of people, we find that we have to supplement the natural nutrition. And I had an entomologist tell me this. Actually, an agronomist. It wasn't an entomologist. It was an agronomist. And his name was Paul. Worked for Perfilon. Spent his whole career working in Perfilon. Now he's retired. And he says, you know, what we put down is a supplementation to the natural nutrition that plants normally get when they're outside. And he's absolutely correct. Like agriculture, corn, wildly grown, is just fine if it's out there all by itself. You know, well, not the corn that we eat now, but the original corn. As soon as we started developing farms and gardens and things like that, we kind of changed the natural progression of these things. So we had to supplement the food for the vegetables as we were now growing them commercially, as opposed to letting nature take its course. So whether it be organic fertilizer or chemical fertilizer or a combination of the two, a hybrid of the two, fertilizer is simply put, a supplementation of natural nutrition. Please bear with me. My voice is going through something today, just getting over some kind of thing going on. I don't think it's allergies. I just, just had this stress. And the voice is just not here today. I am struggling to get through this, but we shall get through it. So when we buy fertilizer, as I said before, we are supplementing the natural nutrition of our lawns, of our shrubs, of our trees, of our food, of our vegetables, of our fruits, all of those things. Now, in order for a fertilizer to be a fertilizer, it has to have certain things. It has to have three main nutrients. And those main nutrients, and by the way, if you see a bag, you'll see a bag like of 888 fertilizer. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. I've given this talk before. I will give it again. We will just go for it. The first number in the 888 fertilizer is nitrogen. Well, what is it that nitrogen does? Nitrogen does a lot of things. But one of the most important things that nitrogen does is it makes things grow. Yeah, just flush of growth with nitrogen. Now, when we talk about nitrogen, there are several types of nitrogen. There's fast-release nitrogen, there's slow-release nitrogen. There's chemical nitrogen, there's organic nitrogen. So when you look at a bag of fertilizer, you want to see what that nitrogen number is, but you also may be interested in the source, okay? And may be interested in how much of it is slow-release. Now, when we talk about the chemical nitrogens, that is usually ammoniacal nitrogen or ammonium nitrate, or it is urea. And those are the chemical forms of nitrogen, some of them. And then to make those nitrogens slow release, some companies will encapsulate some of the urea with sulfur. It'll be called sulfur-coated urea. Man, I can't believe how bad the voice is. Woo, it's hurting to talk. It is actually hurting to talk. Now, as we talk about natural nitrogens, well, all of the natural nitrogens are slow release. What are some forms of natural nitrogen? Well, probably the biggest one would be manure, be it people manure, or cow manure, or horse manure, or bat manure, or bird manure, any kind of manure. Poop, that's what we're talking about. That is a natural form of nitrogen. Now, which is, by the way, a great form of nitrogen to use, chicken manure especially, is a really good form of nitrogen to use on lawns and on trees and on shrubs. I don't like using manure-based nitrogen on things that I eat for a lot of reasons. Number one, it's poop. But number two is you don't know who you don't know what the subjects of that poop have been eating, okay? Like chicken manure, for instance. They feed chickens a lot of weird stuff to make them grow. And do you want that, there's a lot of heavy metals in that poop. Do you want that going into your food? No, I don't think so. So I'm not a big one on that. But there are other forms of nitrogen that are natural and, of course, slow release. One would be fish emulsion. What's that? It's dead fish. Yeah. It's essentially ground up dead fish. And is that good to use in the garden? Well, once again, a lot of organic gardeners would say yes. I, who am not an organic gardener, but use organics as much as I can, but I'm not a purist organic as far as, the purest of those people are. I would not use fish emulsion in my vegetable garden because, again, you don't know what fish have been eating. If it's fish from the ocean or a lake, yeah, but if it is commercially grown fish, which, by the way, is where a lot of that, fish emulsion comes from, then you don't know what they've been eating. So you are kind of what you eat, as they say. So that is one. Now, another form of natural nitrogen, believe it or not, is poultry feathers. That is what is in a product like Ringer Lawn Restore. I'd probably use that out in the garden. Yeah. I would use that out in the garden for sure as a natural form of fertilizer. It was the natural form of nitrogen out there. So there are no fast release natural forms of nitrogen. They're all slow release. I use a lot of Milorganite, which is people poop from Milwaukee. I use that in my lawn and I love it. Oh man, you gotta see my lawn right now. I've been piling the Milorganite on there, and it just looks great. My 89-year-old neighbor Al came over, and he was looking at my lawn. He says, "That's wonderful." All natural forms of nitrogen. The next number is phosphorus, and phosphorus does a lot of things. But one of the main important things that phosphorus does is that it helps to develop the fine hairy roots in plants, and when you do that, you get deeper colors, and if there's a lot of phosphorus in there and you have a blooming plant, it will inspire the blooms. So that is what phosphorus is. Phosphorus has got a bad name lately, and a lot of Florida, where I live, their fertilizers have the phosphorus removed. I kind of think that's silly, but that's the law. The last number is potassium. Potassium does a lot of things, but what potassium does most of all is it builds strength into the plant. I think plants need potassium in order to thrive, in order to get what one agronomist referred to as leaf expansion, to make grass thicker, to make leaves thicker, to make them more vital. Potassium is needed. I like to balance my potassium with my nitrogen whenever possible. That will make for a strong plant. I hope that answered a lot of questions about fertilizer being a plant food. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek.
I'm getting a bunch of email this week, and it's fun, enjoying it, answering lots of gardening questions. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Froth. I'm the geek here. I'm the one that talks gardening stuff. Sometimes I don't, but most of the time I do. I was on another radio show. I appeared on another radio show. Some of you old-timers, some of you old-timers, will remember Chuck Carter and his radio show, For the People. Well, For the People has been reborn, kind of, sort of, and it is now hosted by a nice young man. I almost used his real name, but he goes by the name of Keith Allen on the radio, and I was on the show with him for a good 40 minutes today talking about the history of the old For the People show. So, you know, look that up. If you go to, what is their website? ForThePeopleShow.com. You can hear me on there and hear, you know, my friend Keith, who is doing a wonderful job. Chuck Carter, if some of you want to know, is now living out his life in a nursing home. And, you know, I don't know how well he's doing or not. I know that he's got an iPad, and he is, which I'm going to speak about an iPad in a moment, and is, you know, keeping up with things. So that part is good. Bless his heart. Speaking of an iPad, a couple weeks ago during the whole storm thing, when I had limited power, I actually recorded this show on my iPad mini using a $10 app called Boss Jock Pro. And I word got out about that. And there are people around the country who have downloaded that show, mostly podcasters. And I'm getting all kinds of email from people who heard that show, and they want me to make a video or teach a class or do something to show how I did that. And so I'm, you know, I'm actually going to speak on that in October for the Tampa Bay Technology Center. I'm going to lecture on how I'm going to take my iPad down there. I'm going to take my USB microphone down there, and we're going to do a podcast and right in front of everybody so I can show them how I did it. And by the way, I had no idea what I was doing when I did it. And this segment that we are recording right now is 8 minutes and 50 seconds long. Recording it on my professional studio where I'm at right now with the professional software, it will take me 8 minutes and 50 seconds to record this segment. When I recorded this segment using Boss Jock Pro and, you know, not knowing what I was doing, it took me over an hour to record this 8 minute and 50 second segment. But I think I've gotten a little better at it. I haven't touched it since then, but I think I have a little bit better understanding. So, you know, if you want to know how to do something, teach other people how to do it. That's how I learned how to do all of this stuff. I was never a great hydroponic gardener, but then I started teaching hydroponic gardening when I was teaching horticulture, and I became a pretty good hydroponic gardener. You know, that was pretty good. I was not good at propagating plants, and part of my job as a teacher was to teach plant propagation. I knew the basics, but I didn't have a lot of experience with it. Well, now I got tons of experience with it because once I started teaching plant propagation, I became addicted to plant propagation. And the next thing you know, I have a mini nursery in my backyard at my house in Tarpon Springs, Florida, and I am propagating 6 different types of plants and growing literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of plants, which I would then donate to local garden clubs that they would use in their plant sales. I mean, I didn't want them. I didn't want any money for them. So I just, I would come home from a hard day's work and I was out in the backyard propagating plants. I had my little, mist system that I built out there. And, I used to go to nurseries and I would get free pots because they would, nurseries would buy a lot of things in 1 gallon containers. And then they would, pop those up to 3 gallon containers. So they'd have all these empty pots. And I would just drive around. I had a little route of nurseries that I went to. And they'd say, oh, there's that crazy Michael. He wants our 1 gallon containers. And they'd have a bunch of them. I'd, get 20 here, 50 here, 100 there. So I just had lots of those. And I manufactured my own potting soil, and which I did. Which, by the way, I've always wanted to make a video on how to make your own potting soil. But it is such a long, drawn-out thing that it's something I've never gotten around to. But perhaps I will do a radio segment on that sometime. I would have to collect my thoughts on that. And I don't know. It's kind of boring. If you really want to know, write to me. And if enough people write to me, michaelcrose@gmail.com, and ask for it, I will do a whole segment on manufacturing your own potting soil. And I made pretty good potting soil. And I learned, and I didn't know how to do that. And I took my students down to a place that no longer exists called Hall's Potting Soil. And they manufactured a very good potting soil, probably the most premium potting soil that was in this part of Florida in its time. And I just, called the guy up that owned it and said, I want to bring my students down for a field trip. And we want to see how you do that. And he says, oh, come on down. He was all excited about it. A guy by the name of Fran Addy. I remember his name. He works for Scott's now, as I understand it. But we went down there and he showed us all the secrets of making potting soil. And it is so easy. The fact that we learned the secret, well, we learned how they manufactured a top quality potting soil. And we duplicated that. Now, his secret to his top quality potting soil, or so he said was his secret, was the fertilizer mix that he put into it. And he said, that is a top secret. We don't tell anybody what it is. We have it manufactured for us, and it's a top secret. So you'll never know what that is. And I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the air, but, one of my students, bless her heart, figured out his top secret, because there was a one ton bag of his secret fertilizer over in the corner of the warehouse that was just sitting there. And she wandered over to it. And in the state of Florida, where we live, every fertilizer that you get has to have what's called a fertilizer tag, which has the analysis on it. So she went over with her Kodak Instamatic camera. This was long, long, long before there were, cell phones with cameras in them. She had a Kodak Instamatic camera, and she went over and had somebody pull the tag out so it could be read, and she took a picture of it. And I knew nothing about it until about 3 weeks later when she brought the picture in and showed it to me. So I then knew the secret formula. Oh, well. But yeah, making potting soils relatively easy. Maybe I will do a segment on that sometime. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. we're going to talk about equipment a little bit because I've been getting a lot of questions about that. Oh, hi, everyone. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Prost. I am your chief geek, and I get this one question all the time. I've talked about it on the show a bazillion times, but I guess, you know, there's new listeners and they want to know. And people wanted to know what lawnmower I use personally and what I recommend. They wanted to know what edger I use, what line trimmer I use, and more importantly, what I got the most email about was what fertilizer spreader I use. Let's start with the fertilizer spreader, because the fertilizer spreader is something that you need to be using right now because it's fall and it's time to get that fertilizer down, both on your lawn, in your shrubs, around your trees, all the way around. And, you know, depending upon the size of your property is, you know, going to depend on what fertilizer spreader that you would want. Now, I'm kind of an overkill kind of guy. Out in my garage, I've got a $900 commercial Lesco fertilizer stainless steel model that is with balloon tires, and I mean, it's really nice. It's been sitting in my garage and has not been used in the 10 years that I have lived in this house. 10 years, 1 month that I have lived in this house. It has never been used. I used to use it at the old property all the time, but I brought it over here and slapped it in the garage where it has been sitting ever since. I have not touched it. It is in a corner. You know, it's behind a bunch of stuff. I can't even get to it. The fertilizer spreader, I have barely 4,000 square feet of turf area and a small area of shrubs that's grown a little bit larger, but still reasonably small. So the fertilizer spreader I use, I have another push fertilizer spreader that I bought at a yard sale for $2, and it's really good. It's the Scotts fertilizer spreader, the rotary type fertilizer spreader. Now, there's two different types of fertilizer spreaders, generally speaking. There's the rotary type. That's where the fertilizer is in a bin, and you open up this, you know, when you pull the lever and open it up, holes open up on the bottom, and while you're walking, this little wheel on the bottom is spinning around, and the fertilizer falls down into it, and it shoots it out in an even pattern, you know, 6 feet, 8 feet, 10 feet, depending upon what the spreader is. Okay, so that is the rotary spreader. And I have one of those. I have used it here at this house, but I'm going to be honest, I don't use it that much. Then the next fertilizer spreader I have, I've got a lot of fertilizer spreaders. I just realized that, is a Scotts hand spreader, the green one. You see them at Home Depot and Lowe's and at garden centers. They're like 10 bucks. Usually they're on sale, you know, but they're not expensive. And what I like about it is it's got a place where you stick your hand in and it balances underneath your wrist. So it's not that bad. And you can put some fertilizer in there and then you hand crank it. Now, what I really like about that, back when I was fertilizing lawns commercially, and we were doing a lot of that, you know, and I was using the big Lesco commercial spreader, I always had one of those little Scott spreaders with me and in the spreader and Lesco spreader. And when I would do these small areas between the sidewalk and the lawn, I rarely would take the Lesco spreader there. I would take that little Scott spreader and I'd fill it full of the lawn fertilizer and I would fertilize with that. And when I was doing lots of shrubs, now if I did lots of shrubs, I would use the push spreader with, you know, diverting all the fertilizer going into the shrubs. I did that. But if it was a small area, I once again use that Scott's hand spreader. Well, you know, that Scott's hand spreader is a pretty effective spreader. And what I like about it is you can put the stuff exactly where you want it. I've got a very small yard now. So when it came time to fertilize my lawn for the first time 10 years ago, when I was going to fertilize the lawn, I didn't have my little Scott spreader that I bought at a garage sale. I had my big Lesko spreader, which I wasn't going to pull out because that was like overkill. But I had one of the green, I had a couple of the little green Scott spreaders. And I used a high analysis fertilizer. So I just put it in that. I said, it's going to take me a long time to do the yard. It didn't. It took me no time to fertilize the lawn. And because I could aim the fertilizer where I wanted, I didn't have that much that got on the driveway or on the sidewalks. And it was really nice. I totally enjoyed that. And I said, wow. You know, I mean, you have to fill the thing up several times, but it still moved along rather well. And then I took out my lower analysis fertilizer to fertilize the shrubs, and I just used it on that. And what I loved about it was that once again, I could put it where I wanted it. And that was really nice. I went over to my friend's house who had 5 citrus trees, and it was time to fertilize his citrus trees. I took my little Scott's hand spreader and went out and did that. Very nice. Now, then I have another spreader. I need to get to mowers here in a minute. But I got another spreader that Scott's came out with, I guess, a year ago. And, oh my goodness, it's the electric, Scott's electric hand spreader. It's called the Whiz. I think I paid just under $20 for it. I got 2 of those things right now. Battery operated. And just like the little Scott's green spreader, you can put the stuff right where you want it. But the fun part is you're not sitting there cranking. You're just walking around with this thing, just shooting it off, and off it goes. I love my Whiz spreaders. So that is what I use to fertilize everything with. I fertilize citrus trees with it, either the little green one or the Whiz. I'm using the Whiz more now than anything else. By the way, the Whiz spreader is excellent for putting down seed, because it's even better than the green spreader for putting down seed, because you get more uniform application because that wheel's going at one exact speed all the way across. So it's really good for putting that down. And, you know, I know people who put down lime with it. I think it would be a little messy for lime, but that's just me. Enough about fertilizer spreaders. Now, once again, I get asked, what is your favorite mower, or what mower do you use? All right. For years, for absolute years, I always had a Personal Pace Toro mower with a 6-horsepower engine, 22-inch cut, self-propelled, wonderful mower. I had one at my other property, loved it. When I moved here, I bought one, loved it. It was just absolutely wonderful. By the way, the former Mrs. Gross used the one that I had at the other property for a good 10 years until I think 2 years ago, her husband went out and bought a new mower. But I think that one was still running. I had a mechanical problem with my mower, and I just decided to replace it. And at the time that I decided to replace it, I didn't have a lot of money. And I bought I bought a Murray mower, and I said, you know, it's a cheap mower. I'll use it. You know, I'll beat it to death, and I will use it. I've got a small lawn. It's not self-propelled. I think it has a 6-horsepower motor on it, but I will just use that, and then I will buy another Toro. Well, I got to tell you something. It's not self-propelled, so I said, I'm definitely going to buy the Toro. I have so enjoyed it. It's a very light mower. I have so enjoyed using it. I'm on my 2nd year with it now, and I haven't replaced it at all. I like the fact that it's making me push it. And again, I don't have that big of a lawn, so it's not that big of a deal. It starts up on the first pull every time. It's got a Briggs & Stratton motor on it, and it is the cast iron. There's two different Briggs & Stratton mowers, and you want to make sure that you get one that is cast iron, not one that is aluminum. This has the cast iron, and it has just been a very dependable, cheap mower and working well. When it dies, I'm going to replace it with a Toro. That's my favorite. People want to know, what do you think about Lawn Boys? I don't particularly love Lawn Boys. They're all right. I've used them. I've used all of them. They're okay, but not my favorite mower. or more. Just not my favorite mower at all. I just don't love them. But I love Toro products. I'm a big Toro person. But then again, I'm working with a Murray, and it's a great mower for me. Now, if I had the other property, the other house that had 6,000 square feet of grass, I think maybe not. Maybe not. But here, my tiny little yard, it works great. I'm Michael Kroes. This is Ask the Garden Geek. If you have roaches in your house, it's a problem. It really is. And you can call a company to come out and get rid of them for you. And if that's what you're comfortable with, I suggest you do it. It's going to cost you some money. If you want to save money, I want you to go to this website, helpihavebugs.com. Watch a video. Helpihavebugs.com. What's doing? What's up with you? Ooh-wee, what's up with that? Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. My name is Michael Kroes. I'm the chief geek here. And can't do any gardening. Very little. Got a bad back that I've been nursing now for the better part of a month. I never have had a bad back. I've lived my whole life without having a bad back. And then all of a sudden, you know, I've had a bad shoulder for years. I mean, since high school. But not a bad back, and it's not a lower back. You know, I went to my doctor. He gave me muscle relaxers. I don't do these things. I did a couple for a couple days to see if it would help, and they made me doofy, and it really didn't help. And I don't like being doofy. I really don't. I do not like being doofy. Okay, I went out to dinner with the lovely ex Mrs. Kroes. And I had a couple of adult beverages. She drove. I didn't mind that. That wasn't bad. But as far as taking a pill to feel doofy, no, I don't like that. Do not like that at all. So I can't get out. I can't dig around and do stuff. You know? I got a whole box of plants that were mailed to me this week. And this nursery... There's a couple of them. Wind up sending me plants. I don't know why. I just two or three times a year, a box of live plants shows up. And I opened them up and, you know, they were very, very nice. A wide variety of stuff. I was going to plant them along my fence line out back. I wound up giving them to the former Mrs. Kroes. Mrs. Kroes number two. Mrs. Kroes number two and I get along very well. There were three Mrs. Kroeses, by the way, if you didn't know that. Mrs. Kroes, too, actually runs an eBay business out of my house. She lives a mile away. And I have, you know, I'm right now in what is formerly my studio, still is my studio. I'm building a new studio in the next room. But I've got all these professional lights in here. And I've got, this is where she photographs everything that she sells. And I got to tell you, I made the decision today in the new studio. And I got to tell you, first thing about me, I don't accumulate things. I get rid of things at this stage in my life. I will replace things. Like I had to replace the bed. Okay. And I had to buy new dishes because my dishes were old and chipped. And so I threw those away and I bought new dishes from Amazon, the Amazon brand, by the way, quite good. You know, but I don't buy new things. But as I'm setting up the studio in the other room, I wound up buying a lot of new stuff. And today I made the decision that I'm going to order studio lights in there. Because ever since these studio lights have been in here, I've been doing video production for a technology club that I belong to. I make a video for them every week promoting things that are going at the club. And I use these beautiful studio lights to illuminate me. And if I move my studio in there, which I'm doing, I will have a hard time making the videos in there. So I bought lights for that room, different ones that I have in here. I bought LEDs for in there, but a pretty professional setup. It wasn't cheap, but so I bought that. Normally, I would be spending that money on an electric lawnmower, but since I can't mow my lawn,
I'm not spending the money on the electric lawnmower. And I've made the decision on the electric lawnmower to let it shake out a little bit longer. Although I spoke to another guy today that I met that has that e-grow. The e-grow seems to be the one. It really does. It gets excellent reviews. And I actually mowed half of a guy's yard with one when I first saw it, the very first time I saw it. And since then, I've mowed other little patches of grass with them and played with them. And this guy that I met today, he has one. And he says, oh, it's the Tesla of lawnmowers. So I want one, but I'm going to wait until the spring. I'm not going to replace my lawnmower. I keep spending all this money on the new studio. And, you know, the lights cost that I just bought for the studio cost what the lawnmower cost. So, you know, and the audio compressor that I bought that I have no idea how to use, that I'm going to have somebody come over here and help teach me how to use it, it costs a lot more than a lawnmower. But, you know, but usually I don't buy new things. I get rid of stuff, and I continue to get rid of stuff. Every week I come through here, and I've got right here in this room, Diane was in my garage, and she pulled these two cartons out of the garage, and I looked in, and it's a bunch of my mother's old china. It's all wrapped up and everything, and I said, you want to sell it on eBay, you can have it. She said, no, I don't want to sell it on eBay because shipping it, you know, it's all glassware. Weird looking little wine goblets with little statues. I found them to be quite ugly, but they were there. There was a bell in there, and the bell, a brass bell with a unicorn on the top of it. I sent it to my ex-girlfriend because she's a unicorn person. I haven't heard back from her. But I sent it to her down in Palm Beach. Mail that off to her. But I'm getting rid of this stuff. So I said, if you don't want it, guess where it's going? She goes, where's it going? I said, it's going to the Salvation Army. I'm taking it there as soon as I can pick it up. Because, you know, I can't pick boxes up right now. Maybe Zach and I will run. I got two boxes here. Just, I haven't even gone through them all. But I haven't looked at it. You know, this came from my mom's house. My mom died 11 years ago. I haven't looked at it in 11 years. It goes. So, and there's more stuff like that out in the garage that goes. And a bunch of stuff in the garage has gone. So that's what I do, except for audio studio equipment. I seem to buy more of that. So, you know, and when I get the e-grow lawnmower, when I get this new electric lawnmower, if I get the e-grow, like I say, I'm letting it shake out this season and see what emerges as the best one. And there are several of them that are competing for this. Okay. So I'm going to play with all of them. Toro's supposed to be coming out with one. I want to look at that. You know, I'm going to a horticultural show in December, and I'm going to look at them over there, and we'll see. But when I do that, the old lawnmower goes. I'll give it away. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek.